Tausch begins now. And last week against the Jets, now the Jets committed even more penalties, by the way. I mean, they won 30-10, so I'm not sure anybody was spending a lot of time talking about that. But the Packers were called for a myriad of penalties as well, three of them on Jacob Monk alone. So, again, rooting for that young fella to have a better day tomorrow after what he endured. But Matt LaFleur said this week that one of the foci this week was to improve from the penalty perspective as they roll into game two. Here's what Matt LaFleur said about his issues with the penalties.
Yeah, what's great is this is the first opportunity to have real NFL officials. So our guys, you know, there's a lot of areas that we have to improve upon with some of our core fundamentals, certainly the holdings up front, and they've still taken place in practices since then. So I want to see some of that get cleaned up.
So that was the part when I heard him say that yesterday, Brian, because after the game he was not pleased about the holding penalties, and then he watched the film. And he said that, you know, maybe a couple of them he didn't agree with. But the bottom line is that those holding penalties, as you know better than anyone, having played the offensive line for more than a decade, that stuff sets you back, man. It's hard to convert first and 20 or second and 18, right? And so I'm curious what I don't want to say bothered me, because it doesn't bother me, but it would bother me if I was Matt LaFleur, is that he said there were too many penalties against the Jets. He said they were going to crack down on fundamentals and technique to reduce the issues with those during the course of practice during the week. And then they have Monday, Tuesday's practice, and he's still seeing the same stuff. That's the kind of stuff that drives a coach crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating. And holding penalties, I guess, I mean, you know this, you could technically call a holding penalty every play. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could throw one almost every single play. Mm-hmm. There's just the ones that get called are egregious, right? Like the guy's outside the frame, your feet are beat, and like that's kind of what happened in that game. So when we look at holding calls as an offensive lineman, like, there's certain ways to avoid them, and then when you get them called on you, normally you're putting yourself in really bad positions, and that starts with your first couple moves when the ball snapped, your hand placement, body angles, all those things. So, like, those are things that players have to evaluate themselves as they're going through practice and what they're doing to put themselves in those positions. Because, like, you can grind on the fundamentals in individual periods all you want, right? Like, you can do all those things, and the coaches could be screaming at you, hands inside, or replace your hands, or keep moving. Like, they could do all that. That's fine. Like, and those are good habits to try to reinforce. But once the action's going, right, like, the coaching points are – like out the window, right? You have to start reacting to what you're used to and what's going to work for you. And it's about body position and how you're reacting to the guy in front of you. And to me, that's up to the guys to watch what they're doing and make corrections on themselves. And mm-hmm. if they're not able to do that, right, if they're not able to go back to the film and see what they're doing and then go back out to the practice field to make that correction, that's a little concerning from, like, the player standpoint, right? Because, like, guys have to do that. The coaches, they can, like, obviously tell them what they're doing wrong, right? Like, they're clearly doing that. But this is what I always say. The players are the ones on the field. The players have to make the corrections. The coaches can give them the corrections, but the players have to make the corrections and do the action on the field. You can only do so much for guys until it's kind of like, all right, like, what more can we do to help this individual out to get his feet in the right place, or that he's taking a good initial set so that he's not out of position if a defensive lineman spins back inside or swims inside. Like, it gets to a point where, you know, it's on the player, and it's up to the guy to make corrections, and so I understand why he's frustrated about it.
So look, you played in the league for a really long time. So did Tausch. Tausch had like a ridiculous streak of non-holding penalties, by the way, like crazy long streak of not getting called for holding. My question is, as you went through training camps, right? I mean, you did the off-season program. I remember we've talked before. I'm sure our avid listeners remember you saying this, but you didn't want to be on the Chad Clifton big Lamborghini program. You needed work during the week. During training camp, is there a process, even for veteran guys who've done it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years like you did, to kind of get to a place with their technique so they are in position to minimize the holding penalties? Like, you know, there's only so many padded practices now. There's only so much, you know, full go in 2 minute or whatever else. Does it take a while? Because the Packers will have the NFL officials here again next week on Thursday for their joint practice with the Seahawks. And when the nice elderly fellows and some younger guys that are local officials that do high school and small college games around town are there, you guys, I'm not saying you can bully them, but they're not exactly, you know, Gene Steratore out there, right? Mm-hmm. So is that a process for players to kind of get to where they know that their technique is not going to be flagged and they're not getting, you know, cheating the system a little bit in practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's a process and how you go through it. And obviously from day one to probably where they're at right now, you should start feeling pretty good about where you're at, right? From a technique standpoint, you've been going through camp and all these practices and individual drills and all the, you know, team drills and everything that you've been going through. You've had plenty of reps to start feeling out your technique. And obviously you had game one against the Jets, right? I mean, you went out against their ones. You actually played some series against them and you got tape now against another opponent. So like you should start at this point in camp feeling pretty good about where you're at from a technique standpoint. Yeah, there's going to be some things that after you watch that Jets film, like, all right, I got to clean this up. I was a little bit, you know, my right knee was, I was a little soft with my right knee. I can be a little more stronger with that in pass pro. I was drifting too close to the quarterback. You know, those are all things that after you see that first game tape, you could be like, okay, those are the corrections I need to make. Now I can like make those going forward and progress off that. But like, how you're feeling and kicking rust off, like those are the things you do, you know, after like that first couple days of pads, right? Like, you know, how right. I always say, like the first couple days of pads, it's always the emotions are high and it's always kind of sloppy at times because guys are, you know, playing kind of out of themselves and technique and everything, like things aren't clean. But after that, guys should start settling into playing the way they're going to play as the season starts. And when you get to this point, you should be figuring out like, okay, like this is, I'm in good shape here. I should know what a hold, like, am I holding this guy? Am I not holding this guy? Can I get away with this? Can I not get away with this? Like it should be pretty clear, based on what you've been looking at film. Like, are you okay? Are you not okay? Right, like, and the coaches know exactly what it looks like too. So, as a player, you need to recognize where you're at from a technique standpoint, and that should have been happening like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Like, you don't have time all the way up to week one to be like, okay, now I got my technique down. Now I feel good. It took me 7 weeks to figure this out. Like, no, it should not take that long to get. To get this figured out, right? Like, it shouldn't take that long. I mean, guys that, you know, have been doing it for a while, they have a process of how they like to feel going through it. Like, to me, it was always, I want to feel my pass set is the first thing, my feet. I want to feel like I'm in space and where I'm at from the defender good. Like, once I have that, then I can start working on where my hands are and how I'm placing my hands. And then after that, It's like, okay, well, now I can start working on accepting power. So, like, if I got bull rushed, how I sit down to power and take on a second move. And you kind of take camp from that perspective. And then you can look into the run game and how you fit runs and double teams. And, like, you kind of break it down into those sections because you can't achieve all at once. It's impossible. Like, you'll never get it done. So you break it down into sections. But that should be done by now. Right, like you should start to, like, this is when you're starting to groove everything. Like, things are starting to feel fluid going into the season. It shouldn't be like, okay, I got to start figuring this out. Like, week one's approaching, and I still don't feel comfortable yet. Like, that shouldn't be the case right now.
All right, so you used a word there that I was about to use to tease the next conversation I want to have, and that is about Brandon McManus, because you talk about being in a groove. He has been in a groove all summer. Now, he has missed a few kicks lately. I think he's up to like 3 or 4 misses all summer. But you played with one of the all-time greats in Packers history in Mason Crosby. And I want to talk a little bit of kicking with you before we get to Woe Riley, when we'll get updates on his jiu-jitsu exploits and his dating exploits and maybe some other things as well. So that's coming up. I want to remind you, AmFam has been with Wilde and Tausch from the very beginning. And if you're looking for the Brewers fan experience of a lifetime, American Family Insurance is here to make it happen. Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for your chance to win a pregame tailgate party for you and 5 friends, complete with a private chef and a DJ. You'll also score field-level tickets, hotel stays, exclusive Brewers merch, and Christian Yelich memorabilia. Enter now at amfam.com/brewers. That's amfam.com/brewers. No purchase necessary. Enter by 11:59 p.m. Central Time on August 25th, 2025. See official rules at amfam.com/brewers. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch. So the Green Bay Packers are in Arlington, Texas, the place where they won Super Bowl 45 with a young Brian Bulaga at right tackle, the youngest player to ever start a Super Bowl. Is that still intact? Has anyone beaten you on that yet?
To my knowledge, it's still intact, but again, I don't know. It's not like I do the Dolphins, the champagne toast every time the Super Bowl ends and no one breaks it. I don't keep track of it that much. Let's put it that way.
God, I'll tell you what, between that and your Surfside reads, you have really become a full-fledged radio guy. That was great. So it's 2016. You're in the NFC. Divisional playoff round, the memorable Rodgers to Jared Cook completion on the sideline. I don't remember if Jared Cook, he started the year with the chicken head in his wings at a local restaurant,
yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, at B-dubs, yeah.
And then he rallied and overcame that and ended up being a vital piece. Still one of the biggest mistakes. The Packers then went on a several-year search for answers at tight end. His agent screwed it up. The Packers screwed it up. He should have never gotten out the door. But he makes that catch, and now everyone remembers the throw and the catch, and Rodgers kind of in the background, you know, kind of like giving it body language. He makes the catch, but there's still a 51-yard field goal to be kicked to win that game. And by the way, twice has to be kicked because Jason Garrett gets the timeout as the ball is being snapped. And Mason Crosby drills it not once but twice. Now the one that actually counted, I don't know what your recollection is, but mine is that it started outside the posts, and I thought maybe, but you had that guy. So take me back to that moment, and then take that into what they now have, it appears, in Brandon McManus, who got here, and the first two games he kicked in, he kicked walk-off game winners. And after the roller coaster that is having rookie kickers, he solved that issue. What do you remember from that game first?
Yeah, I mean, that was a wild game. I mean, obviously, you kind of went through it. But before that, right, before that drive, Mason kicked another field goal, I believe, to put us, what, to tie us or put us ahead? It was something like that, I believe. Mason had kicked a field goal prior to that drive, if I'm not mistaken.
So he had checked you on that.
Yeah, I think he had hit back-to-back field goals in consecutive drives, essentially, to put us, I think, like tied or in the lead, and then the Dallas kicked a field goal to put them back in the lead. Something like that,
Look, I say this with all due respect for Mark Tauscher, because I love the guy. I just think the world of him. But he, again, and we don't make jokes around here about CTE. That is a serious thing that all you guys have varying degrees of worries about. But, you know, he makes fun of his own memory lapses from time to time, and it's one of the reasons why the dynamic of this show is stream of consciousness Tausch, because he's legitimately worried that he has something really good, and if he doesn't say it right away, he's going to forget it. Okay?
Yeah.
You, I mean, this is ridiculous. So, Dez Bryant, with 4:08 left in the fourth quarter, catches a 7-yard touchdown pass. Dak Prescott gets the 2-point conversion, and we're all tied up at 28-28. Mason Crosby, with 1:33 to go, kicks a 56-yarder.
Yeah.
To give you guys the lead at 31-28. And then, with 35 seconds to go, Dan Bailey for the Cowboys trots out and makes a 52-yarder to tie the game again at 31. And then you guys have 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, that game should be going to overtime. And Rodgers hits the throw to Cook, and then Mason, 51 yards times two, because he makes it twice, wins the game.
Yep.
So you, sir, are like an elephant. I'm so impressed with your memory. Now you may continue.
Yeah, I mean, it. When we went out there for it, there was, I mean, because he had obviously nailed the 56-yarder right before that. So, like, we knew if we got him into a certain range, I mean, there was no question, right? So it was 51 yards. Well, I mean, everyone had a pretty good idea that Garrett was going to bang the timeout and, you know, make him do it twice. Everyone had a pretty good idea of that. But Mason was always smart. He always got the kickoff on the timeout. He always did it. He always made sure that the ball got snapped and he would hit it just to do it, to see, you know, just to do it, to see how he felt and to see how he kicked it. And Mason always did it. Like, he never allowed the snapper to just hold it. Like, it always got fired and he always kicked it. So when he hit the first one, I mean, I looked up, I was like, all right, well, pretty good. I mean, he nailed that one, and well, this will be the exact same thing. The ball gets snapped and it gets launched, and I remember seeing it, and it started outside the post, and because I was on the right side, it started outside the post on the left side, and then it just, like, probably like 30 yards in, it just started to work its way back in, and like I turned around because I knew it was going in, and it was essentially celebrate at that point, because like it had the leg, you could tell it had the leg on it. It was just a matter of, was it going to find its way in? And after it started to move back inside the post, it was going to stay there. He liked to hit a little cut. He was a cut hitter with his, for us golfers out there, he liked to hit a little cut with his kicks. So I knew it was going to go in, but he had, he'd been really good that year too. But for, a team, offense and defense, when you have guys like they have now with McManus, when you have a kicker that you know you can trot out there and he can hit field goals from 50-plus and he's very accurate, it takes a lot of stress off the group, offensively and defensively, mm-hmm. right? Defensively, they know that, okay, if we make a stop and say we, you know, it is late in the game like that and the other team, you know, they're trying to go, if we make a stop deep in our own territory and our offense only needs to get to a certain yard line because we know our kicker can nail a deep field goal, that like it makes everyone a little bit more confident. They play a little bit looser and it makes life so much easier for the play callers, right? Like mm-hmm. offensively and defensively and for offensive coaches, knowing you only need to get to a point where a kicker, I mean, McManus has a boot, really 55 yards. Like, hey, we got to get this guy to a point. I mean, he could probably make it from farther, but comfortably, we got to get to a point where he can kick a 55 yarder and we're good. Like, yeah. That's not that far down the field if you're in a pinch of a drive, right? That's not that far. And it's a good feeling to have, man. It really is to have those guys in our team. And that pickup last year of McManus, fantastic. And I get there was some controversy with it, right? There was there was controversy with it. I understand that. But from a football perspective, you said it, having two rookie kickers, and we saw how that went. You go from Crosby to the rookie kickers, and we don't know if they're going to go in ever, then to McManus, who is to McManus, who makes almost everything.
Yeah,
I mean it is a good feeling as you know players to have that type of kicker.
Yes, he had a 70 yarder yesterday, not in a live session, but hit the crossbar and went over. All right, we need to get to Will Riley. We've got some updates that we need from our young teammate. You know, we've done a couple of shows now at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, and if you listen to the show regularly, you know that gambling is not my thing. But that doesn't mean that Hard Rock Casino Rockford isn't my thing. We had a great time there, and it has a lot of the things that I love. First of all, I'm always hungry. And guests can enjoy a diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Casino with the Hard Rock Cafe, the Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, the Bricked Italian Kitchen, the UU Noodle Bar, Street Tacos, and Constant Grind Coffee Shop. And I love music. The Hard Rock Casino Rockford showcases a museum-worthy collection of more than 500 pieces of authentic music memorabilia, including items from artists like Prince, Cheap Trick, Eddie Vedder, the Blues Brothers, and Taylor Swift. And the Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue is a 23,000-square-foot premium concert and event space, features more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance the experience for up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. Whoa, Riley is next. It's Wildy and Tausch. When is it ever? I know the perfect time. Moment Brian and I have been waiting for, and Riley, it'll be the ESPN Madison YouTube that will get the jiu-jitsu highlights during the break and of Digi only. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. All right. And actually, I think the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream might get it as well.
Okay, so tune in. Jesse always tells us it's only on one. So again, I don't know how that works.
I'm
that's
not
above
sure
my
exactly
pay grade
either. So we'll see.
I think it's also sufficient to say that a lot of times Jesse doesn't know either. He just won't admit it. Time now
Fair.
For both dating and jiu-jitsu updates. Maybe both. Maybe you can combine them. There are lots of attractive jiu-jitsu female fans that'll be there for rooting for you in the next one. It is time for Will Riley.
Is good. The guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
All right. Well, everyone will see the jiu-jitsu video after this segment. Update, I got second place. So that was awesome. Felt great about that. When it comes to the
you basically, how many matches did you win?
I won one, but that's neither here nor there.
just want to make sure that we're fully disclosing the information.
Yeah, technically two, but really one.
You beat up one guy.
Exactly, okay. Which was sufficient for me, worth the experience. Really good experience. But anyways, I guess everyone's really curious about my dating life. Sorry to disappoint, but there's really not anything going on. I deleted the dating apps because I was getting sick of them. So it's getting busy at work too, so I'm going to start focusing more on myself and, you know, some interior growth instead of seeking a relationship at present.
This is the most anticlimactic.
You guys hyped it up. This was not me bringing up, my dating life. This was Jerry Odd and Levi. I blame them.
All right. So it's been a rough week for this segment of the show, by the way.
That's what I've heard.
Jesse was terrible all week long, frankly. The only time Whoa Nelly was good was when Strofe and Will Summers joined us from a George Webb in advance of victory number 12 to win the burgers. Otherwise, so just if I may, I think you need to understand our perspective here. Brian,
yes.
Brian and Abby have been married a long time. Paula and I have been married a long time. We are both very lucky to have outkicked our coverage. We both have two great kids. We are very happy with our lives. And Brian, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm kind of going to do so anyway. Once you've reached a certain point in your life, you're not going to cheat on your wife, but you do live a little vicariously through the young guys who are out there, you know, in the mix.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to hear that I've deleted all the dating apps. I'm not doing anything now.
I'm working on myself.
All right.
So what does that mean? So, like, what does that mean? Like, working on yourself, like, what does that mean?
It's a good question. Mostly.
He doesn't know because he just made that up.
spending time at work and not going on dates. That's essentially what that means. But I will give you this. A friend of mine last week told me that her original date to a wedding bailed on her and invited me to come with her instead. So I will most likely be going to a wedding as a date in 2 weeks' time. I believe it's August 30th, first weekend of college football season, which... it's going to be tough to miss that, but I want to be there for my friends. So there's that. There's something for you. There's a little nugget.
Wait. She's already put you in the friend zone?
Yeah,
like, it's already friend zoned?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
I was second choice. I don't think anything's going to come of this, but I wanted to give you guys something.
But we appreciate you throwing us that bone of going with a friend to a wedding.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that you can turn on the charm and maybe there's, you know, I don't know if she's an avid listener to the show, so I don't want to ruin your game.
I doubt it.
Well, it's pretty popular. But are you looking to maybe perhaps create a scenario where you show a different side of you and you maybe get an exit pass from the friend zone?
Not really. I'm not really seeking that out. But
no, you're working on yourself.
Exactly.
All right. I don't want to put extra pressure on you. We need to get to – you need to draw the winners here.
It's true.
We need to get to Feel Good Friday. But it's not – this is not just about you, Riley.
All right. You know what? Fine. Keeping that in mind, I'm going to –
reinstall the app.
By the next time I fill in on this show, which I don't know when that'll be – I'll go on one date. Book it. I'll go on one date at least.
Thank you for your service.
Of course.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. Do you have the cheese fry helmet available?
No, I forgot to grab it. So I can do it during Feel Good Friday.
All right. Feel Good Friday to wrap up the week. Coming up next. I don't feel good about Will Riley. There was no information there whatsoever.
And
stick
nothing.
Around through the commercial break, though. If you're on YouTube, you will see Riley Yauch in action. Not the forfeit win, but the actual win in his jiu-jitsu. We'll wrap up the show and wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Home and Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the weight. Try to live up to the say I am. Is it any wonder? Shame comes calling my first name. Is there any question?
If Feel I'm Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. It's the same fight. We'll do that quickly, and the Feel Good Friday for us. I know Tausch was not a fan of the story because it wasn't football-y enough, but it seems pretty football-y to me. Mark McNamee, the Irish import, Gaelic football player, one thing that Brian Bulaga has not gotten into yet. He's more of the Premier League than the Gaelic Football League. But, hey, he's one of those guys keeping the NFL dream alive, and he's out there. He'll get some opportunities again tomorrow against the Colts. That's our Feel Good Friday painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Before we go, we need this week's trivia winner, Jiu-Jitsu Riley.
Yes, I have drawn. You could hear the cheese fry helmet. And our winner is none other than today's contestant, Sean in Waukesha. Congratulations.
Way to get that last one right so you had a chance to win. You doubled your chances. That's it for us today. Thanks to Brian Bulaga for being an outstanding Cousin Sub of the Day. He'll join us again next week when we talk on Wednesday. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.